You are listening to the Point Harbor Church podcast. Experience a place where you can grow in your faith, connect with others, and discover the story God has for your life. For more resources, visit us online at pointharbor.com.
Amen. Thank you, band. That fits very well with the message right there. Speaking of prayer, we've been doing this for some years now, 24 hours of prayer before Easter, and we have a sign up out there. So I want you to sign up, even if you're not going to be here. I hope you can come here. The church is going to be open for 24 hours. We're going to have security presence and coffee, but we talk about prayer. We need to do it. This is the best time of the year to ever reach anybody typically. So sign up to encourage so that your name is up there. Every block is filled, just 30-minute segments, and you can take more than one. But even if you're going to pray from home, sign up, okay, to encourage your brothers and sisters in Christ. But if you can be here, again, the door is going to be locked, but they will let you in. And so I'm going to be here like 1 o'clock or something. It starts on Tuesday. You're like, oh, well, I'm a little scared. I don't know what to do or how to pray. Well, then here's what you do. Come to our weekly 6:30 to 7:30 prayer meeting. Meets over in the El Sembrador building. And then you can pray with a whole bunch of folks. And you don't even have to say anything. Just like my grandson used to say the yeses. Okay? So, all right. Turn in your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, there is a blue one somewhere in front of you. And it's on page, 1083 in that Bible. And that's our gift to you now. And we're going to pick it up, I think, in verse number 3. I was going to pick it up in verse number 9, but let me give you the context. Philippians 1, and we'll pick it up in verse 3. If you're there, say, I'm there. Well, that was somewhat pathetic. All right. So I will take the time to grab my pen. All right. If you're there, say, I'm there. That's a little better. All right. It's not a very long passage. Actually, Philippians is a short book, 4 chapters. And hopefully you are immersing yourself in it. In verse number 3 of chapter 1, this is Paul writing to the church at Philippi. He says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with what?
Joy.
With joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I'm sure of this. Now, I underlined this whole verse here. I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. I highlighted at the day of Jesus Christ in blue. You'll see why in a second. All right, so you can double underline it if you'd like. It is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment, Paul was writing this from a Roman jail, and the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection, or you can translate that, guts of Christ Jesus. All right, here's our two verses for tonight. And it is my prayer, I double underline that. This is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. He says it again, the day of Christ, double underline that. And I put a line between the one in verse, 6, up to the one in verse 10. Filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, I circled that, to the glory and the praise of God. Now, let me give you a story and a little confession to set this message up. About four years ago, I decided to rebel against the culture that y'all are living in, and I left the smartphone movement, and I got a flip phone. And for those of you that were in the flip phone club, you welcomed me with open arms. Thank you for that. But I have lived 4 years frustrating my staff, my wife, my kids, and myself. You ever tried texting from a flip phone? And then somebody would send me a picture, and I couldn't tell if it was a picture of their baby or their breakfast. This little screen. So a week ago, or a little bit over a week ago, I repented of my flip phone ways, and I got an iPhone. Yeah, yeah. And now I can communicate. So my new truck. All right, one reason, because Robin, she's had an iPhone forever, and so it worked with hers. I wanted to, you know, be able to have this magic. I get in now with my iPhone, and it connects automatically, and I can just say somebody's name, and it calls them and puts them through the Bose sound system, and a deaf man, me, can finally hear. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. Before, I had my flip phone, and I'm driving. I know you're not supposed to do this, but it was on speaker, but I had to hold it right here while I'm driving. Yeah. So, but now I am a machine, getting things done, communicating, synergizing, getting the things I need. Siri, call Pastor Tom. Tom, we need this. Okay. Siri, text Pastor Dan. Dan, I need that. Okay. So, smartphone, say smartphone. Yeah, it's extending my impact and usefulness in this life. Why did you ever get rid of it, John? Because it takes over your life. So there are ways to get around that. Here is where you're like, where are you going with all of this? Today's message is this: smart prayer. Smart prayer. How to pray for life change. That's what these verses, especially these last two verses we read, are all about. Many of us here, when it comes to praying, we're not even on the spiritual flip phone level, are we? We're still, some of you in prayer, you're still doing the string and can thing. How many of you did that when you were a kid? Yeah. And it actually works, but not very well. Hello, hello, what? Or sending smoke signals or using carrier pigeons. And as far as your prayer life's concerned, I love that old quote from John R. Rice, all of our failures are what? Prayer failures. All of our failures. I believe that's true. So folks, I want you to listen to me. Listen to the word of God here. You have a financial need, and don't raise your hands, but some of you do. Got a financial need, you need to learn to pray smart. You need a different job. You got a problem in your job, you need to learn to pray smart. In a bad marriage, don't just call the divorce lawyer, call up Jesus, pray smart. You got wild kids, pray smart. You got a sickness, you need to learn how to pray smart. I don't know how many of you know Larry Spencer, but Larry has this rare condition. I won't go into it, but I never heard of it before. And then the doctors tell him, you know, oh man, Larry, it's not looking good, don't get your hopes up. Or something like that. But Larry's praying, and Stacy, his wife's praying, and the pastors and staff and prayer team and their friends are praying, and the doctors are just over and over and over again getting shocked. Like, I don't know. Wow, I don't know what's up. Wow. That's smart prayer. Smart prayer. How to pray for life change. And so somebody here says, well, John, I do pray. I do pray. Okay, cool. But how do you pray? How do you pray? What do you mean? There are basically three levels of prayer. And you're praying from one of them. You're praying from one of them. Hopefully not the first level. Well, what's the first level? That's stupid praying. Stupid praying. Say stupid praying. Stupid praying. John, I teach my kids to never use that word. Well, that's good. I get that. I get that. We're supposed to be careful about that, the Bible says. But God himself uses the word selectively in the ESV 12 times. Here's one in Proverbs. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, yay, but he who hates reproof is what? Say it louder. It's stupid. He who hates reproof is stupid. It means blocked or stopped up or blockhead. Stupid. Proverbs 13 and verse 19, how good it is to get what you want. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Yeah, talk about prayer. But what kind of people? Stupid people refuse to turn away from evil. They don't get what they want. So what is stupid praying? What is stupid praying? There's a couple. First would be not praying. Not praying at all. Where you're like, well, that's not praying. But Jeremiah kind of addresses it. For the shepherds, that's spiritual leaders, are what? Stupid. Why? They do not inquire of the Lord. Therefore, they have not prospered, and all their flock is scattered. When I have a need and I don't pray, what am I doing? What am I being? Stupid. All right, so that's stupid praying, stupid non-praying. What else is stupid praying? This is where more of us are at, praying for God to violate his own word. Praying for God to violate. Some of you pray this way. It Jeremiah 4:22. Since we're in the book of Jeremiah, for my people are foolish, they know me not, they're stupid children. God's calling his kids that. They have no understanding. They got no understanding of how I work or my word or, you know, my ways. They're praying for me to violate what I said I won't do. Well, I like what Robert Griffin writes here. Came across this. Why doesn't God answer all my prayers? The short answer is because some of them are stupid. God doesn't do stupid things. No matter how many times we say, please, no matter how much faith we have, no matter how hard we pray, God does strange things, hard to understand things, even things that seem totally messed up and cruel from our limited vantage point, but God never does what kind of things? Stupid things. He don't. Don't pray stupid prayers and ask God to violate what he's said he won't do. Well, who prays for God to violate his word, though, John? Some people in here. I don't know who you are, but I know. I've prayed stupid prayers, not understanding God's word or wanting him to do something he said he's not going to do or vice versa. And so I said to the pastors, hey, give me some ideas of stupid prayers. And they sent these things back. Lord, make me smart enough to pass the test I didn't study for. Stupid. Lord, make my girlfriend agree to move in with me. Stupid. Lord, bless me financially even if I don't tithe like you command. God, I hope my boss gets a flat tire on the way to work. God, I know you said not to, but can you forgive me and then bless my bad decision? Stupid, that's stupid praying. Say stupid. Stupid, don't be stupid prayer. Then there's simple praying. All right, many of you are here. And this is not bad, but it's childlike. It's childlike. Somebody, that's what the disciples told Jesus. Teach us to what? Pray. We don't know, man. We're praying, you know, little kid prayers. Nothing wrong. They're cute little kid prayers, but that they're cute from kids. And if you're a spiritual adult, at least you say you are, then you ought to start praying spiritually adult prayers. Lord, please, here's one. Don't get mad. Lord, please bless my family. Now, if you're running short on time, all right, then pray that prayer. But I think God says, well, how do you want me to bless them? Well, explain blessing. What is your idea of blessing? I love the quote. I stole it from somebody. To be blessed is to be on the receiving end of the tangible and intangible favor of God. So on the tangible favor of God, that's, you know, hey, Lord, I need a new truck. Boom. Hey, Lord, I need money to pay my taxes. Boom. All right, you get that. Intangible is, Lord, I'm just emotionally a wreck. Lord, I need to feel your love and your joy, right? Those are the intangibles. Those are more important than the tangibles. But to be on the receiving end of that, that's to be blessed. So specifically, how do you want them blessed? Up your game there. There's nothing wrong with praying simple prayers, but it's kind of sort of kindergarten Crayola crayon praying. So grow past that. Paul wants us to grow past that. So if you really want to have life change in your life or somebody else's that you're praying about, here's where you need to be. And it's our message today, smart praying. You need to be smart praying. Say smart praying. What is smart praying, John? It's like Paul's prayer here, and I love this. He says, it is my prayer that. So this that I'm going to download to you folks, I'm going to tell you what I pray for and how I pray. It's a masterclass on prayer. So Paul's opening words inform us that this is how, this is the how, this is the what that Paul prayed when he prayed for them. And in these little two verses, Paul lets us in on, basically, here's what it is, praying for spiritual next steps. Praying for spirit, because all these build on each other. They're all one step leads to another step leads to another step. He lays out smart prayer in these two short verses. And so listen up and write it down. Say, listen up. Write it down. Say, write it down. All right, I want you to pay attention because this can help you in your prayer life. Because many of us here, we're praying simple prayers. And I think God is saying, come on, grow up in your prayer life. Grow up in your prayer life. I want to do so much more in your life. I want to do so much more in your crazy kid's life. But you're praying kindergarten prayers. In our text, each step leads to the next step. And through prayer, you're praying either yourself, if you're praying for yourself, or them into their next spiritual step. That's what we're all about here. That's why we're all about it. What's your next spiritual step? Smart praying, big number one, is praying for supernatural love to increase. Praying for supernatural love to increase. He continues, that is my prayer that your love, say your love, may abound more and more. I pray for this. Paul says, I'm praying for you that you got love. Awesome, awesome. But I'm praying that it will abound more and more. You're like, love who? John, love to God or love to, you know, my family. It's all of that. It's great commandment. This is a great commandment action. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. It's up and it's out. It's up and it's out. A vertical first, horizontal second. But John, I got a lot of baggage in my past. And I have a hard time being loving. I really do, John. And that's why you pray for it. That's why you pray for it. This is agape love. This is God's love. It comes from him. You don't psych this up. You don't psych this up. This is core. In 1 John, he says this. We love, why? Because we're awesome? No, because he first loved who? Us. We love only, we're reciprocal. We have to receive it. He's the initiator. In Philippians in verse 9, and it's my prayer that your love may abound more and more. This word abound really could be translated superabound. Ta-da! More and more. It's a flood, basically a flood of love. Somebody says, John, I don't love my spouse anymore. Okay, all right. I can't, John, I can't. Well, you can if you pray for it. Love is not a feeling. It's not even an emotion. It is an action, and God gives it. You pray for it, and then you act loving by faith. Not because you feel like it, maybe. Amen. But you act loving by faith, especially when you don't feel like it. God hasn't called us to act on our feelings, folks. That's the call of Satan. That's Satan's call on your life, to follow your feelings. It's always going to end up you in a ditch. God's called you to act by what? Faith. Faith. But the cool thing is we get that love from him. We don't initiate it. We don't psych it up. I got this email a while back from one of our ladies. It says, Point Harbor is a very special place. A joke with people at work saying that when Jesus comes, he will stop at our church first because we love him so much. That's one thing I love about our church, our complete, unashamed adoration of the Lord. What a great model for a new Christian like myself. I'm thankful over and over again for this church body. Hallelujah. There's a lot of love here because we make much of the Lord here. Amen? But it isn't loosey-goosey. Some of you got loosey-goosey love, which is more feeling than faith. It's not loosey-goosey, and therefore, he says, all right, here's how you stir up your love. Pray for love that's based on biblical knowledge. Pray for love for your, say you're praying for your kid, or you're praying for your spouse. Not just God, help him to love more. Help him to love me, Lord, he's an idiot. No, but you say, all right, Lord, help their love to be based. That's what Paul is praying here. He continues in verse number 9. This is my prayer, your love may abound more and more with knowledge. It's a knowledge-based love, a knowledge of the Word of God, a knowledge of the situation. So some of you, some of you folks in here, you're just doobie brother believers. You're like, what's a doobie brother? Doesn't sound good. It was a 70s group. How many remember the Doobie Brothers? Come on. Yeah, yeah. All folks my age. All right. What do you mean doobie brother believers? Remember our song, Jesus is Just All Right? Jesus is just all right with me. Jesus is just all right. He's just all right. If I am only fond of him, sound like the Doobie Brothers are found just all right. If I'm only fond of him, I either haven't met him or I'm not spending much time with him. And that is a fact. So here's the truth that Paul is laying down for us. The more we know of God, the more reason we have to love him. The more we know of God, the more reason we have to love him. And that's why he says in Colossians, man, I love the Colossians. He's talking about Jesus. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, rulers, authority, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him, all things hold together. That's our Jesus. Amen. Take that, evolutionist. In him, is the peace that passes understanding. I mean, he's holding all things together. In him is unsearchable joy. In him is life everlasting. In him is everything I or you or our kids or our spouses will ever need. And that's why the book of Philippians is all about in Christ. To live is Christ. The Christian life is not complicated. It is all summed up in Jesus. And that's why Jesus says, get to know me. Because, like the old saying, to know me is to love me. That's the theme of this little book of Philippians, to live is Christ. Now let me ask you a question. Don't answer out loud. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Most of you would say, yeah, I believe that. All right, then the second question, how much time did you spend with him this last week? If you really believed that. Problem is, we don't, many of us, believe that. We don't. And our actions and our calendars show that. Write this down. A superficial love for God, which some of you have, is a sure sign of a superficial knowledge of God. If your love is just superficial, that means your knowledge of Jesus is just superficial. That's what it means. Christian love, and this is key. Christian love comes from a work of the Holy Spirit bringing the revelation of Christ through the Word of God. That's where Christian love comes from. Each new thing you learn of him becomes a fresh reason for loving him. His love flows to you. You love him back. And then you start loving others, not with your love, but with his love. Your life is being changed. Your marriage starts getting changed. Your family, folks around you, start seeing the change and being impacted by the change in you. That is what Paul's praying for here, because of the awesome power of the love of God. So pray for a love that's based on biblical knowledge. And then secondly, pray for a love that's biblically discerning. Biblically discerning. Continuing, he says, it's my prayer that your love may abound more and more with all knowledge and, oh, I forgot that one, didn't I? And all discernment. All discernment. What does that mean? We need to love the right one, and we need to love the right one right. How he wants to be loved. Well, what do you mean? Birthdays. Birthdays to my wife are a big deal. Not so much to me. Yeah, I'm a simple guy. But birthdays are a big deal. Any date, you know, these holidays are a big deal to her. And that's cool. That's the way she grew up, and that's the way she rolls. So that's awesome. But birthdays are a big deal to her. And so if I woke her up on her birthday and said, good morning, sweetie, she's like, oh. I said, I got a full day planned for you, and I want to show you how much I love you, and we're going to do some fun things. She's like, oh, I'm so excited. And we hop into the truck, and we drive up to Hampton, and I pull into this beautiful, huge store with a cool sign on top that says Bass Pro Shop. And she says, Bass Pro Shop? I'm like, yeah, come on, it's going to be awesome. And I drag her in. And for 2 hours, I show her every fishing rod and every Browning semi-auto. And you know, she's not digging it, but I'm not paying attention because I'm having a great time. And I say, okay, come on, I got an even bigger surprise at home. And since hope springs eternal, she hustles back in the truck with me, and we drive back home, and I say, it's out in my shop, and it's brand new, and I bought it just for you. And she's like, oh, and then she's getting a little smile on her face, and I hold her hands, and then I bring her in. I say, put your hands over your eyes, and we come through my shop door, and I slide open the door, and then I say, surprise, and she opens her eyes and sees a brand new $2,500 Grizzly table saw with a big red ribbon around it, and I'm so excited, and she's not. Why not? Because I'm not loving her the way she wants to be loved. I haven't taken the time to learn how she wants to be loved. That is many of us here today with Jesus. We say, I love Jesus. We're loving him like we want to be loved, or with some, you know, lower level, whatever. Ephesians 5:10 says this, try to discern. There's that word again, discern. Try to discern what is pleasing to who? The Lord. Try to discern. That's a command. I'm supposed to discern what is pleasing to God, not just, you know, do it my way, what would please me. How does God, John, want to be loved? He's written it down all in his personal love letter. He's detailed it. The reason we don't love him the way we want is because we don't read his love letter to us. How does he want to be loved? Well, he makes this pretty clear. If you love me, you what? Will. Say will.
Will.
Do what?
Keep
my commandments. If you love me, I love Jesus, John. All right? There's a test. If you love me, here's the test. You will keep my commandments. Some of you, why are you putting off getting baptized then? Because he's commanded it. And you got all these excuses. You don't love Jesus. Though you may be fond of Jesus. You might be doobie brother Jesus. But you ain't loving Jesus. That's his clear word. His word, not mine. Why are you unloving to your spouse when he's told you in Ephesians how to treat your spouse, whether husband or wife? He's commanded it. I love Jesus. Why haven't you forgiven your sister after all these years? He's commanded it. He's commanded it. So that's the test. That's the acid test. Maybe we're fond of Jesus, but a lot of us don't really love Jesus, because if we loved Jesus, we would obey Jesus. Say, obey Jesus.
Obey Jesus.
Obey Jesus. So number one, pray for God's supernatural love to increase. You target them or yourself. God, I pray that my spouse, that you will increase your supernatural love. You give those details. You pray those details for them. Not just so that you can have a better marriage. It's a nice byproduct. But for them and for him. Then smart praying, number two, is praying for strategic direction to guide. Whether me or somebody else. Praying for strategic direction to guide. In verse number 10. This is my prayer. Your love may abound more and more with knowledge and discernment. So that, here's why, you may approve what is what? Excellent. You may discern or you may approve what is excellent. I don't know about you, but I want to have strategic direction. Amen? From God. Anybody?
Amen.
Just me? Okay. All right. In all the decisions I've been faced with in life, who should I marry? That's a big one, y'all. Some folks don't check with headquarters on that, and they pay the piper. What should I do in life as an occupation? Big. Where should I live? What church should I join? How should I handle my finances? All of these things. God wants to give us, because we're his children, strategic direction. And God assures me if I'm growing, if I'm growing in love, I can have, then that's the next step, strategic direction. But if I'm not growing in love, I will be in his love. I'll be aimed in the wrong direction many times. I'll make stupid decisions. I clipped it from the Virginia Pilot some years ago. It's about a lady who made a bad decision. She was, and this is the words, she was 19 and thought she was in love. He bought her stuffed animals, took her shopping, bought her candy and flowers. She wasn't worried about the 10-year age difference. They married November 24th in Salina, New York. And then the article quotes her. About a month after we got married, he started beating me. I knew within a month I'd made a big mistake, she said. Now listen to her. I don't know why God got us together. I suppose there's supposed to be a lesson in there somewhere. I've yet to find it. The months that followed were ruled by his violence and wild mood springs, she said. Through it all, he would look into her green eyes and tell her he loved her. Little did she know that when he would leave the house evenings, stay out all night, he was viciously attacking other women, not to content to destroy her life alone. Dear lady, that decision to get with that guy wasn't from God. You made a bad decision. Because, sadly, it's pretty obvious, you don't know God very well, do you? So, I pray for God's supernatural love to increase in my life or somebody else's life. I target that. I pray for God's strategic. God, give them strategic direction. Because now they are receiving your love. Because they are embracing your love or are being affected by your love. Then, God, I want you to direct their life. Start directing. Don't just pray, God bless them. Pray God bless them and then tell God how you want them blessed. And you might want to mirror what Paul prayed because it's pretty stinking effective. Smart praying is number three. Praying for spiritual fruit to be present. Or to present. To present. Praying for spiritual fruit that I'm going to present. What is that all about, John? He continues. This is my prayer. All right, Paul says, this is how I pray for y'all. That, here's what I pray, your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so then your love is growing. And then so that, next step, You may approve what is excellent, so you start understanding God's will. And so, next step, be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. He's mentioned that twice in these first 11 verses. Paul's brief account of how he prays concludes, and I want you to get this, with his ultimate purpose for the Philippians. It is readiness for the coming of Christ. Readiness to lock literal eyes with the King of Kings. It is going to happen. Paul wants them to be prepared. No matter what you want and what you consider success in your kid's life or your loved one's life, that is nothing compared to the fact that one day we're all going to stand before Jesus and give an account of our lives. And Paul understands that. He sees the big context. Christian growth is not in and of itself an end, but it's the grand goal of standing before Jesus. And Paul was obsessed. You look at his writing, you look especially 1 and 2 Thessalonians, obsessed with that coming day, the day of Christ, the rapture, the end of all things. And this obsession controlled his prayer for these folks in this Philippian church. Someday you and every person that you say you love will literally lock eyes with Jesus. Literally. Hebrews 9 is a scary thing, and it's written to Christians. It's appointed, there's an appointment for man to die once, and after that, after death, comes what? Judgment. Now, we won't face the judgment of heaven or hell. If you're a believer, you've got heaven. But our works for Jesus will be judged. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. That's an appointment that you have. That's an appointment that your kids have. That's an appointment that everybody you say you love has. That's the most important thing. Where they work is not as important. Even who they marry is not as important. That appointment, how's that appointment going to turn out for them or you? So here's what Paul was praying for these believers in Philippi. Here's what you should be praying for yourself and for the people under your influence. First, pray that they have much fruit to present. Pray that they have much fruit. And so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of what? Righteousness. Now, how do we get the fruit of righteousness? It comes through Jesus Christ. There it is again. To live is Christ. So he gives me the spiritual fruit that then I present to him. And filled here, I love this word filled. It basically means crammed. Cram full of fruit, overflowing. Well, what is this fruit stuff, John? You know, Galatians, many of you are familiar with this. But the fruit of the Spirit, it's what he produces in his children, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Some of you in horrible marriages, what would you give to have your hate-filled spouse crammed full of the love of God? And really, it comes down to, in large manner, you have not because you ask not. You target them in prayer. You don't pray, God, kill them. Don't pray that. But you pray, God, I pray that you will help them to have the fruits of righteousness. Lord, help them to first learn the love of God. If they aren't saved, Lord, they need your salvation love. They need to understand that you died on the cross for their sins and you went to the grave and you rose victorious over the grave. That's what Easter is all about. And on the cross with your blood, you purchased salvation for them. They don't get it. God, help them to get it. Help them to trust Jesus. And then once they trust Jesus, God, help them to start embracing and being embraced by the love of God. And then, Lord, take them to the next step and the next step. What would it be like for your kid who thinks they're misgendered to be filled to the brim with joy and the peace of the Holy Spirit? You think that would change their lives? I know it would. You have not because you ask not. Smart prayer. Praying smart. Getting out of kindergarten and praying like the old apostle is teaching us to pray. Start praying for life change. Start praying for life change. So pray that they have much fruit to present at that day. And then they pray that they glorify our God. That they ultimately glorify. That's what it's all about. To glorify God. That's what this whole thing is about. In verse 11, he continues it. And so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. Why? To the glory and the praise of who? of God. It's not ultimately for you. That's the byproduct. It's ultimately for God. Just last Sunday, I mentioned knowing Homer and Annie Vineyard for over 30 years. And on Tuesday, Miss Annie died and moved to God's house, where she's standing tall. One of these words that we are in our text says, pure and blameless. Blameless could be translated standing tall or not stumbling. And Miss Annie is standing tall. She was all bent over last time I saw her. She ministered faithfully around here for 30 plus years, side by side with Homer. And I said one time in the foyer out there, just something going on, and I said, just almost flippantly, well, you know, pray for me. And Homer and Annie both got this, what you talk about, Willis, look on their face. And they said, almost in unison, John, we pray for you every day. Every day, and all of the pastors. You talk about spiritual fruit of a life well and wisely lived for 95 years. Here every week, people, until health kept her at home. And then she'd apologize for not being here. She sent, her ministry at the end was sending cards to folks. You know, little cards, hey, birthday cards or whatever kind of cards. That was her ministry in her later years until she couldn't because of arthritis. And when she had to quit, she told me, I got to quit, and she cried. She ain't crying today. She's standing tall. She's standing tall. Because she had stuff to present to Jesus. Question. Person who's still alive on this earth and still has a chance to change. What kind of fruit are you bringing to present for the glory of Jesus when it's your turn? Where are you at with that? Are you going to be able to stand tall? Or have you done a lot of stumbling? It's still time to get up. It's still time to get up and start praying. What Paul prayed for the Philippians, pray that for yourself. I pray it for myself. And pray for those you say you love. Start smart praying. And watch what he does. Amen. God, we pray that we will pray. And that we will pray and get out of kindergarten. Or stop the stupid praying. If we're stupid praying. But if we're simple praying, God, help us to graduate to learning how to pray. And Lord, we know that Paul, he learned how to pray. And now he's teaching these Philippians and us through your word. So help us to pray smart. Because smart praying is effective praying. Smart prayers get answered. Quickly. Often. Quickly. There's clear communication. And we're praying according to your will. We're not praying superfluous things. We're praying that we might be changed or that they might be changed ultimately to glorify you. So God, help us to learn to pray smart. Now with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, right now where you're at, why don't you just tell God just this simple thing. Lord, help me to learn to pray smart. Help me to learn to pray smart. Teach me to pray. Teach me to pray. And God, change my life. Tell them that. And change my loved ones' lives, my boss's life, my sister's life, my neighbor's life. Help me to have fruit that remains. Because I learned how to pray. Learned how to pray smart. Now, look back up here. One way that we have been praying and we're going to continue praying is these cards. These cards represent, and these are turned in by you folks in the 9 o'clock service and the 10:45 service. And these are folks that you've been inviting. They're your family for the first week. And then your friends for the second week we took these up. And this week, I want you to take out that card. I think it's a green one. I know it's a green one. In front of you, take that out right now. Take it out. Wave it at me. It should be in front of you. Wave it, okay? All right, nobody waving in this middle section here. Come on, middle section. All right, there's one. All right, there we go. Over here, over here. Come on, folks. All right. Now, this is, again, if you don't care, if you don't want your people that you say you love prayed for, then I can't do anything about it. But if you want, if you sincerely want them reached, if you want what this scripture says, if you want to see those next steps being taken, it starts with prayer. Your prayers and the prayers of others that you can enlist to pray. And so I want you to fill out this week your coworkers or your neighbors, all right? Coworkers or neighbors. Put three. If you only have one, put one. Just write their name real clearly. You don't have to write a book. Write down. Go ahead and start it right now. And write that. Write your name if you would. You don't have to. You can be anonymous, but it helps us if we say, Lord, help Glenda's, you know, sister, Billy Joe, to come to church. And, you know, if you want to put a few descriptors in there, backslidden, lost, divorcing, whatever. But this is mainly to have them reached for that next step, whatever the next step is in their life. So fill that out, and then we're going to ask you to come forward. So stand to your feet. Stand to your feet now, unless you're still writing. And just come forward. Drop it here in the midst of all these cards. And if you would, spend just a minute praying their name. You pray. You start the prayer. All right? So come forward now. If you've got them filled out, just make your way to the aisle, down the aisle to the front. And let's do what Paul is teaching, what God through his Holy Spirit is teaching, and pray for these folks. Lord God, we pray that you would answer these prayers. Lord, because we're praying according to your will. You said you came into the world to seek and save that which is lost. And many of these prayer requests that are being breathed even now are for folks who are lost. And so we can know that we're praying according to your will. And I pray you'll answer. I pray that this Easter weekend, that you will do an amazing, amazing thing. And Lord, help the folks who we're inviting. Lord, give us the courage to invite them and help them to come. And fill me with your spirit, Lord, that I might preach your word with clarity. And may many trust Christ. And Lord, these ones who are being prayed for, I pray that you will draw them. Or if they're just out there running, they're running away from you. They're your little sheep, but they're running. I pray you lasso them and bring them back. Help them to reconnect. God, do your amazing work. We just want to partner with you in it. Holy Spirit of God, answer our prayers. In Jesus' name, all God's prayers said, amen, amen. Amen.